Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a chance for us to gather together in your name. Your love for us is bigger than what we can possibly imagine. Your grace is deeper. Help us to embrace you. Help us to embrace what you have for us. Help us again to understand your amazing goodness to us and this world. Give us a glimpse of how beautiful you are. Guide our hearts, our thoughts. Help us to try to be fully present, Lord, for what you have for us. Guide my words. May they ever point people to you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This pyrite above on the screen is, for me, an object lesson to help us understand, help us to imagine, what is our life built on? It's very interesting. I heard this last week from a gentleman. If you were here last week, you might remember. If you weren't, get you caught up. We started our new series on Believe, and it's a series that's about 10 weeks for this year, and we're going to be looking at what do we believe as Christians. Okay, we did that last year. This year, we're looking at how do we actually live it out? How do we actually have a relationship with this God? And what would that look like every single day? And one of the questions I had for people was, if your life was going to be measured at the end of all the days, Scripture called it like Judgment Day, the kind of a time when we're before the Lord. It's not, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger apocalyptic kind of thing right now we're talking about. We're talking about being before our Heavenly Father. He's going to check our life and say, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? Not because that's how we get anywhere or we get our ticket punched or anything, because he's given us a gift. What do we do with the gift? And there's a scripture in Corinthians, it's a letter written to a church in Greece, that talks about that there'll be like a melting down, that there'll be a fire to see what's still standing. In other words, kind of like, what will our life be at the end? Now, if you're under 25, you think, well, that's not coming for a long time. Okay, that's just reality. You just think that's forever away. People in their 30s and 40s seem really old to you. That's just, you know, and then you get 30, 40, and you're like, it's not that old at all. You know, and then, you know, then you look in the mirror, and you're like, who's the old guy? And then you're like, what? Where'd that come from? But the reality is that our lives, they matter. What we do with them matters. And just like this pyrite, this fool's gold, sometimes as what it's called, we can maybe think that our lives are built on something that really, over time, maybe it doesn't really matter. Maybe it's not something that's really making a difference. Maybe it's not built on the things that matter most. And so I was talking to a gentleman about gold, and they said, you know, I heard one time, and I'd love to find out if this is true, that when they refine gold, when they, again, put it under fire, it doesn't give an odor. It's odorless. It just kind of just melts down. That they say they know when they've gotten all the impurities out is when they can see the reflection. And I thought about that. I said, wow, wouldn't that be a great illustration? If it's true, I'm still working on finding out if that's true. But if that's true, that's what God does in our hearts and our lives. That he actually puts us sometimes through some very difficult things to help us reflect his image, his love. What would it look like if our lives really did reflect that? Last week, we talked about what it means to believe in focusing on worship, that we worship God because of who he is and what he's done for us and for this world. And it's something real basic when it comes to, oh, okay, that's really hard stuff there, Pastor, I got you. But worship is so much bigger. Worship, we're called to worship authentically from our hearts, not with just actions that are rote that we don't really put any thought or, again, passion or heart into. There's nothing wrong with saying prayers. We do it every Sunday, prayer of confession, together. You didn't write that prayer, but we say it together. We don't try to say it just because, oh, it's that time, we just say it now. It's to get our hearts right. But if that becomes a prayer that we don't think about, it's lip service, then we've missed the point. And worship is every part of your life, all your thoughts, all your words, all your actions, every part of your life. Not just a service we go to, but it's who we are with the Lord, our relationship. Today, I'd like to talk to you about prayer. Now, we pray to know him, to find direction, to lay a request before him. To say, God, we're trying to get to know you. We're trying to follow you. We're trying to figure out where you want us to go, how you want us to live. And all good stuff in that. We're going to turn to a psalm now. And one of the things I like about the Psalms is the Psalms are a book of prayers, a book of songs, poetry, that's trying to put in words what's bigger than what words can contain. If you've ever had, think of your most favorite meal, you can describe it all you want, but if no one's ever come across anything like it, it's just beyond what they can imagine. Okay, so it's like chicken? No, it's better. And that's what the book of Psalms gives us, opportunity to have words for things that are bigger than what we even know how to describe. And so this psalm here in particular comes from Psalm 66, and it says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth," not just some of it, "all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious." They're worshiping God through their lips, through their prayers. "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name." And then it finishes with this part. I think this is powerful. "If I had cherished sin in my heart," rebellion, my way, "if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." This is the word of the Lord. So when we think about prayer, what are we talking about? What is prayer, big picture-wise? Have you considered kind of how you pray? There's this fantastic scene I was showing my small group earlier this week. If you haven't seen Sister Act in a while, you should check out Sister Act. It's a hilarious show. Whoopi Goldberg does a great job in the movie. But in this part, she's in this covenant order where she's being hidden because she's seen a witness to crime and stuff. So she's in this Roman Catholic church, and there's these group of nuns, and it's at her first group of meeting them, and they're like, "Hey, well, we're so glad you're here." They're just trying to show her some fellowship and some support and love. And so they say, "Would you mind just praying, giving a blessing for the food?" And she's like, I can do that, sure. And then she starts off with the very beginning, you know, "Thank you, Lord, for this food and all the bounties you've given us." I'm like, wow, that's a good start. Okay. And then it moves into like, you know, "And I stand for the republic for which I stand for." And it's like, you know, "I now pronounce you ready to eat." And it's just, I mean, it's got this like 30-second, it's the best prayer that I think I've ever heard in a movie. That's just so funny because sometimes we just, and we just think of anything and everything that might sound religious. Isn't that crazy? And yet it's so true sometimes. We don't realize what prayer is all about. Prayer is the oxygen for your soul, like worship. But here, we listen, we speak, and we're still. We find rest. Prayer is so much more than a checklist, so much more than just what we need. And there's a phrase sometimes you might have heard a long time now, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. Some atheists take offense to that, and that's fine. But the reality is, when situations happen that are beyond our control, that are beyond what we can normally handle and take, we tend to pray. We tend to, okay, Lord, I'm paying attention. What do you want to do? Or did you know this was going on? What about me? Here's the good news when it comes to your struggling. If you're in a tough season right now, the book of Psalms is an invitation for you to read and be encouraged. Because the book of Psalms is all with people that, man, some of them, they're just wrestling. They're going, I don't get this. This isn't right. Why are you letting this happen? They don't try to defend God. They try to talk about the reality of life and how difficult it can be. So again, what is prayer? I'd like to throw this out to you. Consider this. It's talking less and listening more. There's nothing wrong with sharing our hearts with the Lord. He loves it. He can't wait for it. Let me say that again. He loves it. Scriptures are filled with examples of who we are to God. He calls us his people. He calls us his bride. What happens if you don't speak to your spouse? Nothing usually good. And some of you might be going, no, when I speak, I get in trouble. So it's, yeah. I hear you. The reality, though, is he wants that intimacy of that relationship with each one of us. He longs for us to come to him. Maybe your thought of, yeah, maybe I need to pray. Maybe I haven't prayed enough. Or maybe that's just God's invitation to saying, I want to spend time with you. Would you hear my cry? I have a scripture here that I think for me describes what prayer does for us. It's a gift from God. And the peace of God is when you pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is so much more than just getting something. So let's talk about that. What prayer is not? Okay, prayer is not wishes. Okay, you're not like, did I say the right way of praying? Did I say the right prayer? Did I say it enough times? Now does God kind of, he's got his arm, he's stuck, he's got to give it to me. Is that really kind of prayer? Seems a way of how we would make prayer. It's not wishes. It's not insurance either. If I pray enough, then bad things won't happen to me. It's not how it works. When you talk to your loved ones, when you communicate with family and friends, and you have a solid relationship, that solid relationship doesn't mean you're not going to have bad things happen to you. It means that you're in it together. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. He's there with us every step of the way. I heard this pastor talk about the story one time with his son. At the time, his son was like one, fit in a backpack still. He'd go hiking and stuff on a trail. And he said, as he's walking, storm just starts coming down out of nowhere. It was like, where did this come from? And so he's like, okay, you know, he's got his hood up. He's made sure, you know, his son's got his, you know, cover and stuff like that, so he's not getting wet, and he's walking. Well, at some point, the wind blew the cover off his son. He didn't know. He's behind him. He's walking. And he's just like, and he starts to just start crying louder and louder. He's now full on wailing. And he's like, son, we're okay. We're going to make it. And he shares, he says, what would it be like if years down the road, he's talking to a counselor saying about how bad his dad was, how he just took him in a storm, and how just getting pelted by the rain. He's like, what's the deal? Come on, dad. And he goes, if that is how he sees it, that would crush me. He goes, that is one of the most special days I had with my little boy. I got to walk with him. And yeah, there was, it was wet, it was cold, and it wasn't what we planned, but you know what? It was still a special time together. Your Heavenly Father, and I say that on purpose, no matter what your earthly father was, I hope he was great, but if he wasn't, your Heavenly Father is exactly who he should have been and how he should have lived. Your Heavenly Father loves you completely. Completely. To infinity and back. Prayer is not an investment. If I, again, keep praying, then, again, it's that kind of like insurance, but it's going to build it up, kind of like God's going to really owe me down the road. It's not what prayer is about. If my kid comes to me only when she wants something, or my children, it's usually just my one youngest one that's more that way than anything. Lee's not here, so I can say that. So, but the reality is, I know. I'm like, hey, sweetie, what do you just coming to say hi to dad? Sometimes, hanging out, dad, cool. And there's other times I'm like, you want something? Yeah, I'd like some ice cream. Okay, there. If that was the only time she came to me, that wouldn't be deepening of a relationship, would it? That wouldn't be something that I knew could stand the test of time. And it doesn't balance our debt sheet. It doesn't, like, all the bad things, I just got to pray harder. It's not what prayer is for. What are some of the challenges that we face? What are the obstacles to prayer? Believe it or not, our attitude can be a big reason we don't pray. We think we can do it on our own. We don't need it. Yeah, I know that's none of us. Sorry, moving on. It can be uncomfortable. I know a gentleman who would put an empty chair across from him to pray because he just couldn't imagine praying to wherever you are. He just got an empty chair and faced the chair and started talking and imagining God was sitting with him. I said, if that helps you pray, then go for it. We got to find ways to make it work for us. The reality is it's about not being okay with being still and silence, which is really difficult for our culture. You might go, I love silence and solitude. Good for you. That's just not what our culture promotes. Think of how quickly commercials flip through. This is a long one. I'm gonna go get a drink. You know, we just move to the next thing. You might be saying that now. Come on, move to the next thing. Okay, moving on. Prayer, it can just sometimes be difficult because we want immediate results. God, why didn't you answer this? I prayed, boom, why didn't it happen? God's not a genie in a bottle again. And I don't know how much he likes microwave cooking. I think he wants to, again, he has all the power. It's not about that. It's about, he says three things to us. There's a lot of songs. One of my favorite, and I don't have a lot of country singers I've ever listened to, but I thought just one of the best entertainers was Garth Brooks. Not a theologian, but yet just great entertainer. He has this, you know, unanswered prayers. You know, sometimes God just doesn't answer our prayers. And that's okay because we can trust him because he's good. He got it right on that part. But he never unanswers a prayer. He sometimes says yes. He sometimes says no. And he sometimes says wait. Here's the good news. If we know he's good and he says no, we got to be able to learn to trust him in that. Sometimes that no is not what we want to hear. But why not now? It's not, you're not ready. I feel ready. Yeah, I know. Finite, limited perspective. How far can we see versus God who's infinite and can see everything? That comes to a point where we go, do we trust him? Which is what the whole word of faith really means. Do you trust him? Another obstacle is we don't know why we should pray. Like, if God's going to do whatever he's going to do, why should we keep praying? That's sometimes more in the Presbyterian Reformed tradition where, you know, well, he's already made his decision. He's going to do what he's going to do. It's amazing how that doesn't seem to match up with Scripture. Scripture has many times when people pray and God seems to change his mind. Interesting. How about that? Crazy how that works. What if God is again wanting to enjoy this time of life with you right here, right now? In the thousands, millions, billions of years this world's been around and this universe has been made, however you want to look at it, the reality is this. We have a blip on the timeline. You might make it to three digits. Congratulations, that's a beautiful thing. That's a great thing. It's an incredible honor. The reality, though, is in the scheme of things of how big time is, how long time is, that's nothing. And yet God cherishes every moment with you and me. It's so much bigger. So why do we pray? I mentioned earlier to get to know him. I mentioned earlier that to find direction. I mentioned earlier to kind of lay our request before him. And those are all true, and we need to understand that. To know him, to again find direction. Believe it or not, he does have purpose. He does have a will for your life. It's not something he was trying to keep it far away, to get you confused. He does have a purpose. We don't necessarily see the purpose in the here and now. We're too close to it. I like to say it's like, see, if you're inside the picture, you can't see the frame. You're just too close, no perspective. God sees everything, and he says, okay, this is right where you need to be. And I find myself sometimes surprised when God gives me something, and I'm like, how about that? You did that. That was really good how you did that. Like, I'm surprised that he couldn't do that. And yet sometimes we put our limitations. Why do we pray? We also pray to gain strength and peace. That it's not just about just sharing our concerns and just kind of, okay, Lord, I got to make rent, or we have this doctor's appointment, I'm really nervous. That's fine, and we need to share those concerns. But what about the strength to endure? Maybe you need to pray instead of, Lord, stop things. Can you keep these things happening? Maybe it's, Lord, you let this happen, so help me to trust you and walk with you and be strong to finish what you've started. There's some incredible, incredible writings in our scripture that talk about how it's the challenges we face. We need to go to God for strength. And yet maybe we don't have enough strength is because we haven't gone to God enough to get strengthened. Let's put it another way. Let's get real practical. Here's a little object lesson for you. What if we were as strong as we prayed, like, flip it over, what if we were as strong as what we ate? What if you only ate once a day? Because again, it was your meal. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to pray before the meal. And so then it's, what if you only prayed and you ate the same amount? It's not to make anyone feel bad. It's to help kind of bring some clarity. How much time am I really focusing on God? And I know all of us are busy. But you start calculating all the things you do because you want to do, and you find time to do, and the things you want to do, they're hobbies, and that's fine. But it's amazing how God's like, I want to spend all of eternity with you. And yet sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we don't think he really cares as much. We pray because we need to find forgiveness. We need to confess. Lord, forgive us. Here's my favorite reason we pray. Because we are his children. We get to. This is an encouraging prayer here, and I'll give you a scripture here in a second too. Another one. Do not be anxious about anything. Crazy how he says that. Anxious, worrisome. It's not just strong concern. Worry, the word comes from actually to divide your energy. You don't have enough energy for what you need to do because you're worried about everything else. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Again, why do we pray? Because we are his children. Why do we pray? Because he says we are his. Sorry, let me try that again. In John 1, yet to all who did receive him, we're talking about Jesus, all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, not just believed about him, not just believed fun facts, not just knew the books in the Bible, not just was a member of a church, but trusted in him. Do you see the difference? It's not just a head knowledge. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We pray because it's a gift. He's given us an opportunity to know him, to follow him, to find direction. He cares about us, and he wants us to embrace what he has for us. The challenge that I know I face is sometimes like, I'll get to it. I'm going to finish this, and then before you know it, my ADD just kicks in, and then I'm, man, okay, I was going to pray. And so I get up, okay, let's start to pray. I get an email, or I get a phone call, or I get a text, now maybe that's just me. Don't be afraid of the invitation. When you first have that thought to pray, embrace it. And it doesn't have to be an hour long. It can be beautiful, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a breath prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for this day. Give me the strength I need. Boom, you move. You're in the next thing. Lord, thank you for my family. I just want to say thank you. I hope that they're having a great day today. Help them to trust in you. Moving on. And you just, little breath prayers throughout the day. Don't be afraid. He's listening every moment. And in those prayers, sometimes it's just to be still before him. There's sometimes with my wife, we don't have to say much. There's times we need to catch up. There's times I'm like, okay, hi, I'm Dustin. Nice to meet you. Oh, good. Let's talk. It's been busy. But there's times we just can just look at a sunset and just enjoy being together. You can have that kind of relationship with the Lord. Lastly, it's because it's personal. It's personal for him. It costs us some time and focus, but it cost him everything. The whole good news about Christianity, and I teach world religions at the college, And I've studied other religions and how they pray and what they pray and what they do and how they do it. Christian prayer is different. Christian prayer is not, we're trying to get God's attention. From Genesis to Revelation, from the manger to the cross, to the stone that was rolled away, he says, you have my attention. We don't have to jump up and down and wave our hands. He's like, I did everything so we could have a relationship together. So let's talk. Let's get to know each other. If he's good, you can trust him. If he's good, maybe you've been missing out on something that's just so beautiful for so long. So what's your next step? Again, you're invited to pray. You're invited to know his love, to experience his love, to be a part of what he's doing in the world. We need to bring our requests to him. We need to lay him down. But what's your next step for this? Maybe it's 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening. Set a reminder in the watch or on your phone. Set a reminder okay, today I'm going to focus on this. Maybe you go a little bit bigger. Maybe you don't give him any requests. You just thank him for all the blessings you've been given in your life. When you start writing them down, it's amazing how many things you're thankful for or what he's done. From the air we breathe to the world we live in to the country we live in. Yes, there's a lot of broken things in our country, but we still live in an amazing country. And what a blessing it is. The challenge sometimes is we get lost in all the stuff. Just focus on getting to know him and not being afraid to let him get to know you. Let us pray. Lord, praying is something that maybe we struggle with for a while. Maybe we didn't know what to do or how to do it or what you were trying to do or the purpose for it. But Lord, help us. Help us not to be afraid anymore. Help us to be open to your work in our hearts and in our lives, that the prayers that you want from us is not just a list, even though you welcome our lists, our concerns, absolutely. But may our prayers now be focused on establishing and reestablishing, aligning and realigning our hearts with yours. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for trying to get our attention this morning. Through this word, through this service. Help us, Lord, to embrace you, to celebrate you. Help us to believe in you, trust in you. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, the church universal. We ask that you would continue to bless us as a movement, not a monument. That the church was your idea, not a person's idea, not a religion's idea. It was your idea. Help us to serve your purposes and to be faithful in our serving. We, of course, lift up those who are hurting around the world. We pray for our country. We know what more and more of what divides us. Help us to trust you in spite of the chaos, in spite of the anger, the hate. Help us, Lord. We pray. We pray for our brothers and sisters, especially now in our community and especially in ECO as we prepare to gather together in Texas to celebrate what you've started, to keep a laser focus in what you've called us to be in a becoming a flourishing church. We especially lift up those who are struggling like Kirk of the Keys. We pray for Any River in their search for a new pastor. We pray for the Grove that's trying to reach people that just have never even considered church. And Palm City that has been like a big brother to us at times. Lord, help us, again, be your hands and your feet in this community. We thank you for all the ministries you're doing in our community, all the work you're doing through us and through others. We give you all the praise. Give you all the thanks as we prepare to give back to you a little bit of what you've already given to us, Lord. May it be an out of an overflow of love, of joy, of celebration and praise. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.